Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company on a Monday. We'll have our headphones a little bit. Willie Ramirez is here. Jared is here as well. Busy week on the way. UNLV football opener on Saturday. So some road action. Not that way. In H-Town. You been to Houston before?
Humid.
Yeah.
Beaumont.
Okay.
Just near there. Went there and covered a traveling softball team that was playing for the national championship. And let me tell you, I don't want to go back.
No?
I don't like humid places. I lived in Plantation, Florida when I was younger and been to some humid places before. Those two, South Florida and Houston area, are brutal. Brutal.
We're going to head to H-Town with a lot of mystery. A lot of mystery. You had some UNLV questions coming into the show. What do you got? By the way, Odom spoke today for about 25 minutes, and then the four captains spoke. So that's the beginning of the week from a media avail standpoint. And then remember, middle of the week, 2:15 in Flamingo, Parkway Tavern, Barry Odom radio show.
So before we get to the obvious question, this is now his second season, and you have been out there as much as anybody else that covers the Rebels. My question to you is, this being his second opening week pressure, game week pressure, not right. Availabilities where you're going out there, you're asking certain things, you saw something at camp, whatever, spring ball. His first Monday pressure for game week, second of his career at UNLV. What have you noticed from year one to year two?
I love questions like this because we do the same thing to the coach, and I did it to the players today. I was like, hey, how is, first week? How's the feeling going into the season versus last year? And my answer, especially if I was Odom's age and I'm older than Odom, would be, I have no idea. I don't remember day to day. Well, I think, one, across the board, their expectations are much higher. And maybe I heard it last year, but I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, when a coach comes in, you got all these new players. Oh, yeah, your plans to win the championship in the conference. All right. Like, the program was 5-7. Let's have it get to, like, 7 wins, 6 wins, and make a bowl game.
Pump the brakes.
Because, I'm not going to say that, but, right. That is the way you coach. Like, hey, we can win a championship.
And you don't want to get banned.
They came pretty close. Yeah, I don't want to get banned, right? Believe me, we have a nice portion of the show. We're going to talk about Deion, and I'm going to compare and contrast what Odom has done. And Deion's under a lot more pressure. It's a bigger program, bigger conference. But he also put a lot of it on himself. Absolutely. By talking trash and attacking media. Not a week ago. He did that at the very beginning of last season, so we'll have to correct some narratives out there. So they're confident. He has high expectations. The way they built the program this year, listen, last year they had a lot of unknowns. They brought in bodies with the hope that it was going to improve on the bodies they'd had. The crazy thing is they brought in 50-plus new players last year. They've got 55 new ones this year. But you didn't hear anything about Louis, did you? Get your Louis. Get the frig out. Was kind of Deion's attitude last year.
Yeah.
UNLV's done the same exact thing, just quietly. The team they're playing this week, Houston, 60-plus new players. There's a way to do it without being obnoxious to the kids and the parents who are watching their kids get booted or leave or gently nudged out.
You say it. You could say it in a flattering way rather than a condescending way. There is definitely a difference, and certain personas are going to express that.
That's what you do, though, when it's about you, right?
Yeah.
The kids who you don't even know their names—they were just losers from the year before. I mean, that's the way you treated them. Hey, they lost, and then people reacted to it like, "Oh, losers! They didn't win with them. They don't need them." Like, actually, maybe there's some guys who actually could develop. Maybe you develop some depth, but we'll get into that. This weekend for college football. So, yeah, we kind of buried the lead there. It's a triple or situation at quarterback.
Yep.
Cam Friel, Matt Sluka, Haj Malik Williams. 3-2-1. They didn't say that. I'm saying that. Cam Friel, Matt Sluka, Haj Malik.
Haj Malik is your starter. It's who you'd go with.
Probably.
You give him the nod.
I'm very conservative. He's been here since the spring. Sluka has not. I think Sluka is a player with more variance, and I'd like someone out there at the beginning of the game who's going to be a little more even-keeled.
Steady, yeah.
But Sluka could be fabulous. Haj Malik has tons of upside as well. And you saw what week one meant, right, Willie? It meant inconsistency on offense. I think a lot of teams – okay, there was only four games. Several teams overlooked their opponent and couldn't get going until late in the game or couldn't get going enough to win the game. And Florida State falling, not a shocker. They were pretty big favorites, but Georgia Tech is more than plucky and is going to be a troublemaker in the ACC. And obviously SMU, I mean, I thought SMU was going to be like, where are we going? Reno? Who's Nevada? What? We have ACC. That's ahead. Distracting. And it took SMU until the fourth quarter to really start pressing on the gas.
All four favorites were probably deservedly favorites, but when you say underestimate, we automatically look at what the point spread was. Was it that the favorites overlooked their opponent, or was it the bookmaker screwed up and overcompensated for the competition? Because we talked to Sammy P last week, and he was like, Georgia Tech has been pounded by the sharps, and he was afraid that he lost value.
Right.
As it turned out, nobody lost value if it took Georgia Tech, especially on the money line. But I'm just wondering if – though I'll be honest with you. The only one that I was really surprised at, I love the dogs. Week zero, take the dogs. It's a big one.
I love them this week. No, I mean, you got to be careful. Well, there's
right. So I said every dog. There's four dogs. Okay. But the only one I was surprised at with the whole plane debacle and the bus and the this and that was Delaware, because they're having to fly all the way across, then over to the island. So I just thought that might mess with them. They came out just fine.
Yeah, the point spread was probably too big, but I agree with you. I expected Delaware State to go there and struggle a bit. Hawaii's got most of their guys back.
Yeah.
A lot of their guys back. They're high-flying. Got the Shager bombs with Braden Shager. Love those. Again, took them a while to get going. There's been weird weather in Hawaii. Maybe we didn't factor that in.
We asked.
I said the one game I mentioned all last week was New Mexico.
Yes.
Against Montana State. That was too big.
Yeah.
Like, New Mexico still has players. And the other thing is, we're going to look back on this, and I know everyone loves to crap on New Mexico. I don't think that I like Albuquerque. I think they have great fan support. Right now for football, they don't, although they got about 17-5 for the game against Montana State, which ain't bad considering where they've been. I thought Bronco Mendenhall was the steal of all the hires. He is a really good coach. He's not going to go in there and just have nothing out of the transfer portal and get freaking steamrolled. And the thing with New Mexico, they blew it. They blew it worse than Reno. New Mexico had multiple opportunities. First of all, they gave up like a 95-yard run for a touchdown. And then they had multiple opportunities to get first downs, and receivers were wide open. The one kid, Weissong, had like 8 catches, 95 yards, but on a big third down, dropped it. Another big receiver. He had a pass that was a little behind him, but what did he do? He let it come all the way to the body instead of reaching the hands out. He dropped it. They convert those first downs. They win. Now, Bronco Mendenhall doesn't care about the point spread. I mean, they show they're going to be somewhat dangerous. I mean, I'm never going to say an FCS team overlooked an FBS team. I'm sure Montana State was super fired up and wasn't looking at a point spread.
And we talked about it last week again with Sammy P on Tuesday, which games, because we sort of pushed Georgia Tech aside when he said the loss of value. He said if there's one game he's holding off, but he's going to bet is New Mexico. You and I talked about, hey, SMU may be laying all these points, but it's still Mackey Stadium. It's still Reno. That's a team that was wanting to look. I thought that was just way too many points. It's sort of like, you know, there's one game I always look at every single year in week one. If Wyoming is hosting a team from like the ACC, if for some reason they host ACC, Big East, SEC, whatever, they come all the way over because it's such a tough place to play. Fly in, then the bus ride, right? The altitude. I've always just said that's a tough spot for a Power 5 to go into because they don't know what the heck they're getting themselves into. Or Utah State, same thing. Those bigger ones, they come over to those little SMU going in, think they were going to push Reno around, and it wasn't the case. I thought, again, four dogs were tremendous. I was worried a little bit about Delaware State with the plane and the bus and the plane situation, but fact of the matter is the underdog started out 4-0.
Did you see the betting ticket I sent over? Someone had multiple picks on the Florida State, Georgia Tech game, SMU, Nevada, Hawaii, Delaware State, and they found a way to go 0-8. And they said it. Hey, we're here, my friends. Football's back. Special day. They didn't say I have the moxie for an 8-play week zero card.
Hey,
congrats.
It's just as hard to go 0-8 as it is to go 8-0.
So what do we do? Do we ride this person next week, or is it fade time? We just play against them until they start winning.
No.
That's a hell of a hold.
Here's the thing. What you want to do is follow this guy or bookmark his site. And if he comes out with, like, this week not going to get two, and if he puts, like, 2-3 plays out, like, here's a three-team, whatever, he's going to go 3-0. Because what he's going to do is he's going to be scared to go 0-8. He doesn't want to play all eight. So he's just going to, like, take a shot with two or three, and he'll probably sweep it.
So New Mexico loses. Reno loses. Hawaii wins. Mike Romala, who's on the morning show on the press box and with the Las Vegas Sun, he asked the question of Odom, hey, with the playoff spot and conference strength really mattering, each weekend, are you going to root for every other Mountain West Conference school to win and be good?
Three Mountain West teams played in 0 week. I was rooting really hard for two of them. And so you want the league to have success. You know, the stronger the league is, the better the champion will be seen nationally. I know this, that we got a lot of great coaches in the league, really good players. And at the end of the year, the Mountain West Conference is one that will be respected and should absolutely have a spot in that 12-team playoff.
We'll see. I think it'll be respected, but I've said all summer it's going to be a bloodbath. And schools like Liberty or App State, that can go unbeaten. I don't know that the selection committee is going to be discerning enough to go a two-loss team from the Mountain West Conference or a two-loss team from the AAC. We'll put them in over an unbeaten team from a smaller conference.
I don't remember last year's final standings, but I don't think that it stood out last year for some reason, but wasn't it the year before Mountain West won the bowl standings? And previously before that, they had some successful time in the postseason. They won those bowl standings or finished second. They've always sort of in the postseason. And you know what that goes back to also? They may not have always won the bowl standings, but when Utah was part of the conference, Boise State obviously part of the conference in doing their part. But, I mean, there have been years where in the postseason people look up and go, wow, the Mountain West Conference came through. They may not be in the marquee bowl games and only one or two have gotten through to where they've gotten and played New Year's Day bowl games. But fact of the matter is they're kind of like the MAC. Right, you at least expect them, and then all of a sudden in the bowl game, maybe it's the bigger teams overlooking because we didn't want to come to this bowl game, and then they get smacked around. But I mean, he's right. You know, you want to build that up. I don't know how good it's going to look as far as resume with New Mexico losing to an FCS school, especially when they're winning. But
364-1100, caller 7. We got two tickets to go check out Nick Cannon's Wild and Out live tour. September 1st, that's coming up right around the corner on Sunday. MGM Grand Garden Arena, AXS.com. You can get your tickets. Jared is in for Griffin this week. Jared, we'll hook you up with the caller or with the tickets. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. 364-1100, 364-1100.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company. 44 yards on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Joe Tessitore, Jesse Palmer, Florida State, and that was a nice short version. Tessitore went on and on. He is Gus Johnson light in terms of screaming on every play, but for the first game, like, everyone was fired up. The setting in Ireland was awesome too, because it's the typical, right, of Ireland and the rest of whatever you call it. What do we call it? Great Britain? Great Britain is just which countries?
Great Britain is Wales, Scotland, and Britain.
Okay. But and then when you want to go UK.
That's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
So Ireland's completely out. They're completely out. It's completely out. So anyway, all that to say, skies got dark. There you go.
Meanwhile, I enjoyed the musical choice on the comeback. Kind of took me back to old Vegas, which is here, Vegas 702. When we say that, we say Vegas.
Okay.
East of the 15.
This is why we don't play music underneath bites, because inevitably we're going to go off on some tangent. So good college football weekend, massive weekend coming up. We'll speak to Miami fan, boxing expert, Jason Whitlock, buddy, Steve Kim. Well, Whitlock had a really good, he's been as he will do, and it's very random, but he doesn't like Angel Reese. So he's been getting
big
after,
time.
He's been getting after Angel Reese.
Big time.
He's got Caitlin Clark's back, but surprisingly. But Steve has similar thoughts on Angel Reese, and it was kind of interesting over the weekend in that game against the Aces. But I try to adhere to this, and we've probably had some pretty good Jerry Jones rants, and I could still rant about it, but I don't really like to discuss training camp and off-season contract deals, because 99.9% of the time, they get them done. Now, is there collateral damage? Maybe. In this case, $34 million a year for CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, a lot of these holdouts or hold-ins, they're not practicing. Now, are they working out behind the scenes? Of course. But they're not out on the practice field, so I guess this is enough time to make sure CeeDee Lamb is up and humming in a couple of weeks. I do think there is some damage. I don't know why they had to wait this long, but I also wasn't in the contract negotiation over the last month or so. So Cowboys get a deal done with CeeDee Lamb.
100 of it's guaranteed. I think he's the type of guy that, like you said, he's definitely been working out. He's definitely been putting in the time, knowing you put in a demand for a number like he got. You better be ready to step on the field when that deal is cut. So now it's a matter of putting Jerry's money where CeeDee's mouth is in terms of, you know, hey, this is what I want. Well, you got it. Now you got to, you know. Now the question is, you got to go out and get the deal done with Dak, though, right?
Do you? Does he want to? Is the better question. Do you want them to? You're a Cowboys fan.
Well, from selfish reasons, I mean, I kind of, I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know because.
60 mil, 300 total, 240 guaranteed. 240 million guaranteed. Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
If I knew in advance, like if I had a source with his agent, let's just say, and I knew, hey, he's ready to play this season, put on a show, audition, but he really wants to play for Vegas, and Mark Davis was ready to bring him over at the end of the season. Just from selfish reasons, that would be dynamic to be able to cover that team.
Really?
You would put
to the side your Cowboy fandom so that you have a better story to cover here.
Well, if they're letting him walk, they damn sure better be bringing somebody in big.
Trey Lance. He had a big touchdown run. He led the preseason. I talked over you there. I was trying to, but there's sobering reality. No, go ahead and say it. Five picks
against the Chargers' backup defense after a stellar week against the Raiders' starter. Troubling. Dallas's QB3 has a big week against Raiders, 6 starting defensive players, then throws 5 picks against Chargers backups. Lovely.
Better bet in the NFC East. Eagles -125, Cowboys +170 to win it.
To win the division?
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to take the plus, taking fandom out of it, just because I'm never going to bet the favorite in the NFC East. If the Cowboys, if you gave me the opposite, I would say the same thing. Take the Eagles plus the money.
I feel like a lot of people are predicting doom and gloom for the Cowboys this year.
Well, that's because don't people do that? Don't people always do that?
Well, it's kind of dangerous.
Who are people? When you say people, I mean, are you talking about reputable people that have no, or because just as much as there are fans that are saying, oh, the Cowboys, this is their year, there are haters that are always going to say they're going to be terrible. You got to find right down the middle with no bias that one year that they may be critical of them, other years they really, you know, that they have to be neutral. So who's people when you say people? Are they Cowboy haters? Because if they are, they're always going to say that.
And are a lot of talk show hosts on TV and radio believable, or is it just part of their bit? We don't do bits here when it comes to betting. Now we make bets, but I want to win them.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to lose my aces bet.
My aces bet nearly, I mean, it's almost pretty much done.
It's done.
They're at 10 losses. They could have lost their 11th against the Sky.
It's over. It's done.
Now don't do this.
Congratulations. I mean,
like, rest in peace, Dave Koken, but don't pull a Koken on me with the reverse jinx attempt.
I owe you two meals.
Oh, it's over.
I owe you two meals. What was the third one we were going to bring into the fray? We talked about last week.
I don't know. We lost our guy who used to keep the bets. I who knows what's going to happen with these bets.
I got to go back and listen.
JVT was our guy, but he talked about it last Tuesday.
Like, I was like, we're going to add this to the mix, and because I got cocky and said, once the Aces win this bet, then we'll be even, and then I'll have a lunch because of something. I can't remember what it was.
Our bet is 28-12. Are they 18-10 right now? Is that it? What do I always say in the studio? Don't ask questions you don't know the answer
to. They're 18-11.
18-11.
So they need 10 wins.
I almost pushed with the Sky game. I almost got the push. But by the way, I lose on the push.
They have to go, yes. They have to go 10-1.
Wow. You don't feel good about this, do you? It's troubling.
Well,
I hate to see you lose bets.
Here's the thing.
I hate to say it.
They should win in Dallas tomorrow.
We're not doing game by game. Can we do that later on? No. We got to take care of business. Bush. Candlebox. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains. September 11th, Planet Hollywood, Ticketmaster.com. Let me stream through it. Giveaway. 364-1100, Bush, Candlebox, Jerry Cantrell. September 11th, Planet Hollywood, Ticketmaster.com. Ticketmaster.com is where you can get your tickets, but Jared just got lots of tickets today. 364-1100, caller 7-364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Just getting started here. Coming up on 3:32, Cofield and Company on a Monday. Remember, Barry Odom Radio Show, first 2024 show, is this Wednesday. Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. Cheap Miller Lights. Lots of signups. Swag to give away. And one lucky viewer of the show in person will win a suite to the home opener at Allegiant. Room for 16, food and beverage provided, about a $2,000 value. I mean, who gets to sit in a suite for a game at Allegiant? Home opener is on September 7th, so you want to get out to Parkway Tavern, 215 in Flamingo, for the first Barry Odom radio show. Well, looky here. You know, we're going to hit some stories today, but especially this one where round one of an investigation, round one of the pounding and the embarrassment and the shaming goes by. And then when the story hits a crescendo and real penalties are coming down, everyone's like, they already dealt with this. No, they didn't. And what I'm talking about is Michigan and violations on multiple fronts. So now we're getting to the sign stealing. And the notice has been sent out. There are rumors that Sharon Moore could be suspended for a long time. Wins will be vacated. I mean, who cares, really? In the end, that stuff is kind of inconsequential. But a head coach who was left behind to clean this up, being suspended for much of the year and basically tanking the Michigan year, that is a pretty decent penalty. And then we go back to Jimbo and his word salad, where he had a press conference and he tried to disarm everyone by talking about how bad cheating is, and I would never do that. But if you do, say you're sorry and be better.
I have to cut you off.
What?
I got to cut you off. You sent this over. Did you happen to see this while you were making the rundown and send this over?
No, I had it all weekend.
Oh, so I opened it up.
Yeah.
Now, I opened it up actually while I was eating in the break room before the show.
This is the wrong link.
And I searched the exact wording.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon Moore will be also. The only thing that came up, especially at the top of AP college football, is actually leading the college football page, is that he hasn't made a decision on the quarterback. Below that tweet, which, by the way, this guy that you sent over has 157 followers. He's following 27
people. Who cares? I'm not quoting him on the story about Sharon Moore.
No, but underneath it says that this is from a troll account, so on and so. I looked it up, and I haven't seen anything. There's speculation from months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the last story I could find was that whether or not there's going to be a starting quarter, or who the starting quarterback was. I don't even know if this guy's going to get suspended.
So fake story, you think?
Yeah, right now I'm calling it a fake story because I haven't seen anything. I tried to look at other sites, too. I have yet to see anything that's come back on the news return on searches from multiple different search engines, DuckDuckGo, Google. I haven't seen it. So I don't know if it's accurate.
Yeah. All right, important story. We'll look it up. Let's go to break. Steve Kim is on the way.
Steve Kim, the host of the Three Knockdown Rule podcast, joins Cofield and Company. Presented by Snack Nutrition.
We'll get to more of the letter of notification from the NCAA to Michigan and what could possibly happen to the Wolverines. That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour when we bring in Reno. Lots of college football to still recap from the weekend, but Steve Kim is in, and we have some good stuff to discuss today. How are you, Steve?
Good. How you guys doing?
Real good. Well, I'll just tell you, on this show, we debate, believe it or not, WNBA a lot. I think you heard that with Adam Hill when he went apoplectic about a month and a half ago. I love, again, coming out of the break, the continued debates with Caitlin Clark fans, Angel Reese fans, media people talking about Angel Reese. She put up another double-double, and I thought Whitlock had some pretty interesting things to say about her efficiency and around the rim and maybe why she's grabbing all these rebounds.
Well, I mean, she gives herself a lot of opportunity. To me, her double-doubles are empty calories. I just think as the season goes on, it's clear who the rookie of the year is. It's not Angel Reese. We all know who it is. We all know who's made the bigger impact, who the more efficient players. I love the fact that Caitlin Clark's actually a better shot blocker than Reese. I find that to be one of the great statistical anomalies of all time. But, I get great joy out of retweeting all the Angel Reese slander. I just think it's hilarious.
How much do you think Rekia Jackson has worked herself into the conversation?
I mean, she's in the conversation, but anyone that's not named Caitlin Clark in getting this award would be an absolute travesty. It really would be. No one has meant more to this league ever for 1 year than her. And she's actually delivered. She's gotten better. She has a game that's very pleasing on the eye, very aesthetically entertaining, which not a lot of those players can say. She is definitely one of them. And the impact that she has made, look, she might go down as the most transformative player in that league ever. Not that I really care. I'm not Jason Whitlock. But I do find myself at least peeking in on her highlights. When I see something on Twitter, I'll go to YouTube. Anyone else, I'll be honest with you, I just really have no interest.
Steve Kim is with us, brought to you by Snack Nutrition. So Deion Sanders has some interesting goings-on right now with the media. I want you to read on what happened last week where he had exchanges with multiple media members, including telling all of CBS people, local and national, they're banned. And then it came out that Sean Keeler, a Denver Post columnist, was banned. What do you think of all this?
I think it's interesting. I mean, look, it's a story within itself. And, you know, as someone that's been quote-unquote banned by certain boxers or entities, I find it odd because, you know, Ron Borges of the Boston Globe had a really good career. He told me one time long ago, he taught me a lesson. He said, Steve, just because you can't talk to them or not allowed to doesn't mean you can't talk about them.
Right.
And this kind of stuff, and I don't know if it's going to make Sean Keeler's job any more difficult. He seems to have a pretty sharp tongue. I think if he plays it the right way, he could have a lot of fun with this, especially if Colorado struggles. Now it becomes great for him that, let's say they get out of the gate. I expect them to beat North Dakota State. The next two games are key for how I think the season's going to go. Those are two very tough games on the road against Nebraska and then Colorado State. Sean Keeler has a chance to have, like, daily material. And he could just say whatever he wants. And he could always say to these people, hey, I'd love to talk to Deion. I've been banned. So if you play this the right way, it's actually something that could be very beneficial to Sean Keeler. By the way, stuff like this puts a microscope on Colorado football. And in my view, guys, it actually makes them more interesting.
Well, it makes it more valuable. I mean, we saw the reports that going into the Big 12, they actually got a bonus of like $2.5 million over the other Pac-12 schools that got in. So there's some value there. I don't know. My approach as a media person with Deion, I wouldn't even ask about it. I would do an experiment the next 3 weeks. I bet you he mentioned this on his own without even being questioned about people coming after him and being attacked. He'll just do it on his own because it's motivated by him. It's not I found it interesting that he's questioning other people's faith. Like, hey, what's wrong with you that you'd be so negative? What's going on at home? Watch, if you just let Deion go full Deion, he's going to bring it up anyway.
Yeah, and look, I think Coach Sanders is very lucky that he's in an atmosphere and in an area that is very pro-Colorado. I don't know if you'd call Boulder a true classic college town, like let's say Happy Valley or Columbus or Athens, Georgia. But there's no doubt about it. Me and Whitlock talked about it last week, that basically everyone there not only wants this to succeed, they want him to succeed. Like, they have to have this work. So the coverage is going to be very favorable. He's actually lucky, Coach Prime, that he's not in an area like Philadelphia or New York or even L.A. where people are a little bit more critical. They're not going to, you know, they don't root for the home team. But these things can change very quickly. And I'll say this to you guys again. I think the Big 12 is actually a tougher conference than people think.
I agree with you. All right, let's talk Miami. Jump in when you want, Willie. You got a follow-up?
No, I don't follow up. I was going to go right where you're going. I mean, underdogs went 4-0 this past Saturday, and what's that mean for Florida?
Uh-oh.
Home dog against Miami.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, look, you know, I'll give myself a little credit. I told everybody Georgia Tech would be a very tough game for Florida State. I thought Florida State was a little bit down. I don't think people understood just how valuable Jordan Travis was to that team, along with the other NFL draft choices. As it relates to my beloved Miami Hurricanes, in the immortal words of the late, great George Allen, the future is now. This is year three. You no longer get a five-year rebuilding period in the transfer portal NIL era. This is the best roster I think I've seen at Miami in over 15 years. And you picked up Cam Ward, who is considered a top-five quarterback. You got the best running back in the portal. I like this team. I think they're better across the board than Florida. Not that this game is going to be necessarily easy, given the fact you are still playing SEC athletes, and it's the opening game at the Swamp. But these are the type of games that I think that Cristobal, Mario Cristobal, has to specifically win. This is what he was brought in to do, and I expect him to come out with the victory on Saturday afternoon, gentlemen.
Steve Kim is with us. It's great watching high school football and even, you know, certain levels of the big-time college football world. I'm always a fan of the inside defensive guys. I'm trying to think of the guy. I can't remember his last name now. Saw something at Hawaii. He was like 5'9 and 340 playing inside. We found another one, at least Ross Tucker did. He's not getting credit on this aggregating site. But there's a Governor Mifflin High School in Pennsylvania, and Ismael Ayala is 5'7", 345. I mean, he looks like Dorf on golf playing defensive tackle.
Yeah, it reminds me of the big center on Varsity Blues. Remember him?
Sure, yes.
And it ended up scoring the winning touchdown as they went to the wide-open spread offense as the coach was kind of I forgot his name, but he was played by John Voight. He basically got bounced out of there. There was like a player coup, and they went to the five-wide empty sets. I'm just telling you, when I saw that picture, the first thing I saw was Varsity Blues.
Nice. The Hawaii player's Sauce Williams, and yeah, he's at like 5'10 and 340 pounds. Hey, you know what? There's a role for the fire hydrant, the plug in the middle of the line to freaking ruin everything and sometimes take double teams even at 5'7 and 345. You had a really interesting retweet. It's kind of a discussion I wanted to get into. I saw that Bruce Pearl was talking some politics, and Dan Wolken had asked, hey, does NIL change the game where you can or you can't say things like this? What do you think about coaches? Yeah, you know what? If I want to have some political discourse, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, why not? Look, here's the thing about a guy like Woke, and if Pearl would have said something on the different side of the political aisle, he wouldn't have said a thing. Let's just be honest about it. What he did there was very, very agenda-laden, and I'm glad that people are pushing back against it. And if players are so turned off by any comment of a coach, they have the right to go out there and say, you know what, our beliefs don't align. Maybe I won't play for you. But then again, if the NIL is large enough, I can overlook that. That's the reality of it. But as it related to Woken, we all kind of know where he stands on things, which is certainly his right. And that's where I find it dishonest. You don't have a problem with Bruce Pearl expressing his First Amendment right. You just happen to disagree with what he says politically.
Yeah, does he have a tweet questioning Steve Kerr?
That's a great question. I mean, Steve Kerr seems to have a lot to say about certain things, and very, very awkwardly silent on others. I find that a little bit odd.
Yeah, I actually admire people who haven't been scared to give their opinion. There's so much yelling and screaming and name-calling. Like, I'll give you another one. I have no idea if they were just like, hey, it's a former president, I'm going to take a photo, or if they're planting a flag in support. But I don't know if you saw it, because they got a rash of crap on social media, but both Max Crosby and Gardner Minshew had photos. I think it was at the Trump Hotel here, not at the Mexican restaurant that he did his stuff at earlier in the day. But listen, if you want to express whatever you want to express, go ahead and do it, and don't be afraid of people.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, if you're going to burn your Max Crosby or Minshew jerseys because they happen to have a political belief that does not align with yours, I think those individuals need to reassess, number one, is it really that important to you that the people that you idolize have to have the same beliefs you do? Because I guarantee you Max Crosby probably does not care who you people, and you know who I mean by you people, are voting for. All they owe you is their play. All they owe you is their effort. That is it. That again, just because you buy someone's jersey and you buy tickets to their game, that does not mean that they have to align with you. Like, let me just tell you guys, if I bought tickets to Anita Baker concert, and I probably will one day because she's an unbelievable singer, but I found out that she has core beliefs that I disagree with, here's the issue. It wouldn't affect me. I would still go to that concert. So I just think, to me, people who believe that if I support you, that then I have to then leverage my beliefs upon you, they are completely out of line.
With that, let me ask you this, and let's go back to college, and I'll even take it maybe down to high school, but where the line needs to be drawn. Do you think it's okay for teachers, and if so, where does that start or begin or end, to, in a year like this, sort of lend their political beliefs onto their students, or should that stay out of the classroom?
Well, I mean, you know, and here's the thing. I think, well, many teachers they indoctrinate every single day, and I think it goes beyond politics. Let's just be honest about it in terms of the things that they are pushing. That is a very fair argument, but either we discourage it all the time, or we just accept it. But here's the problem. There are certain media members that are only outraged when certain people say certain things. Like we talked about this last week, Steve. There are people losing their jobs at ESPN because it turns out that they are not going with the stated message that is approved, while other people like Mina Kimes are literally flat out giving political endorsements. Okay? What is the difference? Do we have a standard, or are the standards different based upon what you believe? See, that's the question that I have here.
Steve Kim is with us. We got to talk some fights, although we don't have a lot to work with. We've got the Donnybrook that went down at an MGM Grand, and then we've got something that basically was the same with Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition with John Gotti Jr.
Okay, so I think the MGM Grand thing, someone told me it was actually the one at Grand Harbor in Maryland.
Correct.
Right. And my understanding is that that seems to happen a lot there at that facility. Uh-oh. Or that particular. But you don't see a lot of fights in Vegas on the casino floor. They're just not doing that. You're costing people money. They run a pretty tight ship. Grand Harbor does not seem to have the same security protocol. But I will say this. That guy scored a 2-for-1, and he landed more hard punches than Mayweather and Gotti did on Saturday night.
So
credit to him for whatever that's worth.
I'm going to have to one-up both of you. I believe the best fight of the weekend was the one that broke out between Rutgers women's soccer team and UMass. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Wow, that wasn't tweeted out. The only women's sports I get, Willie, is really when it's tweeted out on my timeline.
Okay,
I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to tweet to you a link. Headline, punches thrown between players during Rutgers UMass women's soccer match. I saw it, found it, and was just, I thought it was great. And then, of course, I thought of Steve because that's his alma mater. And I thought, well, Rutgers, here we go.
Sure. Jersey attitude.
You know, those Rutgers women, I mean, I don't want to go all Don Imus here, but they're tough.
That was a good throwback. I mean, that's a terribly insensitive joke. Don't ever do that again. No, but you are right, though, because it got sent out by a lot of people as MGM Grand. I think people assumed it was Vegas, but that's a brand that is in multiple places. When I was watching it, I'm like, wait, this is the lobby of our MGM Grand here, and there's one security guy?
It didn't look familiar. See, I was like, where's that? I've never been to that place. That was just there a couple weeks ago. That didn't look familiar.
Yeah, there was one guy. It was like 1-on-6. He knocked them all down, and then he was able to circle around and punch them on the ground. I'm like, is there any security there? Like, that's not, I don't know, man. Security on the strip here. You may get a couple of shots off, but it ain't going like a minute and a half.
And then the two women tried to jump in, and I will say to that guy that scored the multi-knockouts, he was a gentleman. He didn't sock the women. He just kind of brushed them off. But look, he did hit that one guy when he was down and knocked out. Come on. Yeah. Is there any decorum left in this world? Come on. Come on, guys.
Where's the class? Steve, what do you got? What are you thinking for 3 knockdown rule this week?
Well, we're off for the next 2 weeks. There's not much to talk about, and we work so hard there once a week for an hour. We just said, you know what? We need a break here.
Wonderful. I like it. Well, enjoy the time off, and, I'm sad we put you to work for 15 minutes, but we do appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Snack Nutrition presents Steve Kim at Steve Kim 323. There was actually another brawl that I did not include. I'll have to send this one to you. It was between a gentleman at a grocery store. It looked like in the dairy area. It was kind of those open, you know, chillers.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he was 65. And a woman who appeared to be about 5'11", 250. And they circled and circled and circled.
She dropped him.
And she got off one punch, an overhand right. And I think between popping him in the side of the head and his balance, gonzo.
Love it.
Yeah, don't. That's a no-win situation. Yeah. First of all, don't hit women.
Right.
And secondly, they might beat your ass.
Well, when I say love it, I don't mean love it because you're fighting a woman. I mean, I love the fact that this dude squared up with the woman and she dropped him. I mean, he got what he deserved.
Season tickets still available for UNLV football. 150 is where they start for the same seat every single game, 150 for 6 games throughout the season. Then there's the club seating. That is $375. For more information on season tickets, grab them. 6 really good games at home. UNLVtickets.com, UNLVtickets.com.